Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and we are, what, about 5 weeks away now at this point from the 2018 NFL Draft. I got to tell you, I freaking love the draft. I am so excited, especially when you got moves like the Jets moving up from 6 to 3 and the intrigue that goes along with that. You've come to the right place for a bunch of different reasons. Number one, my award-winning personality. Number two, Fran is the best evaluator that I'm aware of. I love Mayock and I love Fran. Fran Duffy from the Philadelphia Eagles, their video scouting guru, at FDuffy3 on Twitter. I am at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. If you're a Facebook person, that's cool. Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. And if you love these conversations, this dialogue, certainly sign up over at tuckheads.com. We get into these debates and questions all the time. Speaking of signing up, or at least being made aware, we're presented to you by the Scouting Academy. We love the Scouting Academy. And really, Fran, it's amazing how much people don't know. And I don't think that they would I think the Scouting Academy, even if you don't think you want to get into scouting or you're not sure, just the amount that you would learn to be a better fan, a better listener, a better follower of football for the rest of your life, to me, just that would be worth it. He says that some of his people that sign up are like 55-year-old heart surgeons and stuff.
All I know is that whenever I talk to anybody that's been around the game, that's in the game, whether it's a coach or a scout or a GM or a former player, I learn something new every time I talk with those people. I know you feel the same way. And when you have the ability to learn from people that have done it at the highest level, you have to take it. And I think that's what makes what they do at the Scouting Academy so awesome.
Really is very, very cool. At a minimum, you guys should check it out. Just click on the Scouting Academy link over at rostucker.com on the sponsors page. That way, if you like it enough to sign up, you get $50 off their summer registration. So they got a cool logo. It's over at the sponsors page over at rostucker.com. Speaking of cool, Fran, I referenced it already. We had a big trade. Now, we've had a bunch of things happen in free agency that I think paint a pretty good picture for some of the things that we can expect. The most, and we'll talk about the Bills and the Browns, but the most recent is the Jets trading up from 6 to 3. I talked about this a lot on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast yesterday, but I wanted to get your initial reaction as well, Fran.
Well, the first thing I thought when I saw it Saturday morning, Ross, is not necessarily what the Jets were doing and what the Colts maybe were targeting and how it was a good deal for either side. My initial thought went to number two, because it's so rare that you see a trade this early in the process for the number three pick. Because you can't guarantee, if you're the Jets, you can't guarantee at this point who is going to be there. Now, so the way that I look at it, there's one of two things happened. Either the New York Giants are staying put and they're selecting a player, and the only reason that they would stay put and select a player without listening to a trade offer would be if it's a quarterback, in my mind, right? Like, it's not they're staying put and giving up the chance to pick up extra first-round pick or multiple second-round picks to take a running back or take an offensive lineman. You're staying put at number two to select a quarterback. Either that, or Dave Gettleman's asking price was very high, and rightfully so at this point in the process. No reason to come down off of that. And the New York Jets said, you know what? We like these guys at the top enough that we're willing to give up just 3 second-round picks. Don't have to give up an additional one. We can get to 3 and get the best of what's left. I don't necessarily agree with that strategy, but that could be the way that they're, if let's say New York is in a spot where, you know, the owner says, you know, we need a quarterback. It doesn't matter. This is what you guys are going to be evaluated on. Getting to number 3 guarantees them that they're going to get one of these quarterbacks. So if they feel very strongly about that, that's kind of what they put themselves in a position to make that move. To me, though, Roz, I don't know how you feel about it. If you're the Giants and you're staying at 2, I think you're taking a quarterback at this point. I think if you're going to say no to other offers, and we don't know what the talks are behind the scenes, but if you're going to say no to other offers, you're not staying put and passing on those extra picks to take a running back or an offensive lineman. As good as Saquon Barkley is, as good as Quentin Nelson is, I think that to make that decision, I think would be really interesting and something that I wouldn't necessarily expect.
Right. Totally agree. They're either taking a quarterback, or I think maybe they think they can get even more via trade.
Yes.
Or maybe they have something to believe that they have some information to believe that they could get more via trade. I would agree with that. As for the Jets, I don't want to dive too much into it, but to me, I think they wanted to guarantee themselves clearly one of these three quarterbacks, or one of three quarterbacks, but to trade that much for a guy that might be third on your board at the quarterback position, yep. They must really, really like these guys, or it's just kind of desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah, because, I mean, right now, if you're New York, okay, if you're the Giants, not the Jets, if you're the Giants and you're looking, okay, now that the leverage is up, the heat is turned up on Denver at 5 because they may miss out on a quarterback altogether. It's turned up on Buffalo, who they made that trade up. We'll talk about that in a bit. Miami, Arizona, there are a handful of other teams that could potentially make that move up into the top 5 to get one of these quarterbacks. Well, now the asking price just went up because now that if you're with the Jets at 3 and with the Browns at 1, you're now looking at it saying, okay, if I need to get a quarterback, I need to make sure that I get number 2. I need to absolutely make certain that I get into that top 3. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Giants decide to do. We may not find out until draft night. It'll be interesting to see, man. To me, to see that deal happen so early was very, very shocking.
Yep, I would tend to agree. Now, what about the Bills trading up from 21 to 12 with the Bengals and trading Cordy Glenn?
They're clearly, obviously putting themselves in position to try and move up and get a quarterback. Now, the issue is you make that deal now, and obviously you take it when it's on the table. But that, to me, I wonder if that deal that we saw over the weekend, the Jets trade, if that happens now, if we didn't see the Bills trade already. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if that upped the ante a little bit for some of these other teams to say, you know what? The Bills are going to be making a move. We better make a move now so that we put ourselves in position before they trade up even further and beat us to the spot. So, the Bills move up to 12. Obviously, right now, they still have a ton of picks, Ross. Looking at the teams that have the most picks, the Bills have a ton of real estate, a ton of assets that they can work with to try and see if they can move up. It's a matter of how much they're willing to give up for one of these guys. Look at the Giants at number 2. And then the Browns at number 4, I think they would serve Cleveland really well. And we joke about the trades they've made in the past. If they get whoever their guy is at quarterback at number 1, then take number 4 and you could trade back with one of these teams because chances are, like we've mentioned, the price has gone up. You're going to get a pretty good prize in return. I mean, you're going to get multiple high picks in return for that number 4. So whether that's Buffalo or Miami or Arizona, some of these other teams, Denver as well. Denver, it wouldn't shock me at all if they moved from 5 up to 4 or from 5 to number 2 to make sure that they get their guy, whoever is the apple of their eye, as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other flaw I kind of feel like. I'm kind of with you on the Bills, although they have to do certain things to try to put themselves in position. It does feel like they're telegraphing it a little bit and that, if you are, let's just say you're the Giants or the Browns at 2 or 4, you're going to really try to work something out, in my mind, with like Denver or someone else, as opposed to going all the way down to 12. You want to try to get one of those elite players. So, you would consider moving down to 12, but you'd have to get a lot back. Now, the flip side is kind of points out the flaw in what the Jets did, because they didn't really block the Bills from doing anything. In fact, they just showed them exactly where they need to go.
Exactly right.
Showed them what they need to do. Where they need to go. It's confusing. And by the way, now that we're seeing what's happening in free agency and what the Jets just did, it even makes it more obvious in my mind that the Browns are taking a quarterback at 1. I'd be very surprised at this point, Fran, if the Cleveland Browns did not select Sam Darnold with the number one overall pick.
Yeah, and it's not even like that's what they're going to do, but it goes back to the conversation we had last week that is what they needed to do from the jump. Like, that's what all of this could have happened on draft night after the Browns had selected, say, Saquon Barkley number one. All of a sudden, the Giants trade out with Denver, the Colts trade out with the Jets, and now they're left with their third quarterback on their board potentially, as opposed to just having the pick of their number one quarterback. That's why the decision to take a quarterback number one is imperative, and now it's a must. I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to take a quarterback in one. I really feel, Ross, that it's going to be quarterbacks off the board 1, 2, 3, 4 to start the draft. That's really how I feel right now as we sit here today.
Wow, that would be something. I think that is a distinct possibility as well. And then Denver, I guess the negative would be that they don't get their guy, a quarterback. But they signed Keenum to a 2-year deal. The positive would be they'd have their pick of Saquon Barkley or Bradley Chubb or Quentin Nelson. Pretty remarkable, really, when you think about it. Let's get to some Daddy Soda time.
Daddy Sodas.
All right, you know how we do this, Fran. Love to get your thoughts on these guys. Today's running backs day. I probably should have mentioned that earlier. That's a mistake by me. I got so caught up in free agency and trades and stuff. Which one of these running backs? And let me just take a step back first, Fran. How does this running back class overall compare to last year's or recent years? Because I feel like it's not getting the hype of last year's for some reason. I don't know why.
I would agree it's not getting the hype of last year's, because I think last year, you know, we had the big names at the top, right? I mean, we had Leonard Fournette, obviously everyone kind of knew, and he was that year's version of Saquon Barkley, where everyone knew, the common fan, I would say, the casual fan knew who Leonard Fournette was, just like the casual fan this year knows who Saquon Barkley is. He's going to be a top five pick in the draft. But then you go on from last year and you had Christian McCaffrey, there was Dalvin Cook. There were a lot of names at the top that were getting so much buzz. Whereas this year, we're not seeing it. Although when you go back, and I think a lot of people that study it will say that this class is comparable. I mean, Darius Geis is a hell of a talent. Ronald Jones from USC is really explosive, and I think he compares favorably. A lot of people have made the comparison to Jamal Charles coming out of Texas. I think that comparison is pretty good. I think there are a lot of the similar traits there. I'm a big fan of Nick Chubb. We'll talk about him in a bit. To me, the depth of this class is really, really strong. There's a lot of players that we're not even going to get to today that I think are really, really intriguing. And I think it's pretty comparable, Ross, to last year. And last year was viewed as, you know, the year of the running back, and there were a ton of options, and there were. But this year, I think, is pretty strong, too. This is a pretty good group. And honestly, we talked about this in the fall. There's a lot of good young ones still in college that are still coming up. I mean, the freshman class this year in college football was very strong around the country. I think that you're going to see a little bit of an upswing, I think, in terms of running back talent moving forward to the NFL.
Well, let's get to it then. Out of this group, which guy is your favorite one to watch on film?
It is Saquon Barkley. And when I watch Saquon Barkley, you see his combination of size and speed. And I think he's got natural power. He's a naturally explosive athlete. I like the way he runs. I will say this. I don't think that his vision is great. I said the same thing about Leonard Fournette last year. I don't think his vision is great, but I think his physical skills are enough to overcome that at times. You saw that there were times when things broke down in front of him a little bit in terms of the offensive line, and he wasn't always able to overcome that. Now, if he goes to a situation at the NFL level where his line is pretty good, I think we're going to see a guy that's in great shape. I think if he goes to a situation in the NFL where they leverage his abilities in the passing game, much like what we saw this year with the LA Rams and what they did with Todd Gurley, I think you're going to see him be a dynamic playmaker at the NFL level. When you see Saquon Barkley, he's not Leonard Fournette in terms of the way that he runs, in terms of his physicality and his power. That's not his style. But I think when you see his size and his speed, his ability to get to the corner, he's got a knack for making people miss. I really love watching Saquon Barkley. I think he's a hell of a talent and one of the best running backs to come out in recent memory. He's got kick return potential as well. Everything about Saquon, I think, is really, really intriguing. And I know you've watched a ton of him as well. And if I'm missing anything there, let me know. But I feel really strongly about him and his future in the NFL.
It's kind of interesting, just reading the local reports that, you know, James Franklin, the head coach at Penn State, was a little disappointed in his combine performance. He said it was an average day for him. He's seen him do 34 reps on the bench, and they've tied him at 4.3 many times. He really thought that with training and everything that he might even get into the 4.2s. So I thought that was kind of funny, just to, you know, the guy totally blew it out of the water, and it was considered average by his head coach. I'm really curious to see how he does. Look, he'll be great in the receiving game.
Yep.
And he'll be great when he gets, you know, out in space. I'll be curious to see how he does, like, in a single back set. You know, everything Penn State did was out of the gun, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
I tend to think that will help him, and that he'll be even better if he can actually get the ball, you know, 5 yards deep and have a chance to kind of get some momentum going to the hole, because it just wasn't always like that based on, you know, the gun runs that Penn State had. I mean, they are never under center, never. And so I'll be very curious. See, you know, it's not like it's Georgia, you know. Speaking of Georgia, who's the guy that you've got, Fran, that's underrated by the media?
Yeah, for me, it's Nick Chubb. And I'm a big Nick Chubb fan. I always have been ever since he arrived on campus, and we saw him in that action when Todd Gurley went down as a junior, his final year with the Bulldogs. And Chubb is 5'11". He's 227 pounds. He's built like a Greek god, man. He's got muscles on top of muscles, very well-built, well-put-together guy that, to me, steps in the NFL, and you know that he can handle the workload. The big question with Nick Chubb is the knee, honestly. I mean, I think his athletic upside is better than what people think. He showed that a little bit at the combine. I think people were surprised by what he did in Indianapolis. If he could show that he is all the way back, both mentally and physically, from that knee, and it has been 2 years since the injury, there are times where I wonder if he is all the way back. But you know, you watch him, he's got NFL size. I think he's got some of the best vision in the class. We talked about how vision wasn't necessarily a strength for Barkley. I think it's a strength for Nick Chubb. I think he does a nice job setting up his blocks, whether he's under center with a fullback, whether it's a single back set, whether it's from the gun. I think he has a really good feel for it. He's at his best when he's downhill. They did a lot of inside-outside zone stuff, but when they ran trap and power and he was able to keep his shoulder square to the line of scrimmage and get downhill, Nick Chubb was really effective. You know, his play strength is very, very good, very, very strong at the point of contact. And I think that's really kind of the strength of his game. It's going to be interesting to see where he ends up getting drafted, because I think he's probably looking sometime late day two, potentially early day three. I would value him higher than that, but I think that's probably where we're looking at him for. But Nick Chubb, to me, is one of the best backs in this class, and he's a guy that I feel really good about succeeding. Is he going to have the highest upside? Does he have higher upside than Darius Geis or Ronald Jones? I don't think so, but I think that he's got the ability to be a really good role player at the very least for an NFL offense.
Kind of amazing to me, Fran, that a lot of people have Sony Michel ranked ahead of Nick Chubb now, and maybe that's in part because of the injury, but you go back to senior, you know, the U.S. Army Bowl game I called, or you go back to even their freshman year, it really wasn't close. I mean, Chubb was clearly the guy. Now, players get better, players get worse, and I think we don't talk about that part of it enough, and clearly Michelle's gotten better. And my guess is people just think Michelle is a better fit for the NFL game now with his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. Do you think that's fair?
I think that's fair. I think he is a better receiver in terms of just his natural, you know, his hands and his ability to catch point. I think that his athleticism is a little bit overrated. A lot of people kind of viewed it, you know, because it was easy to kind of pigeonhole them as like a thunder and lightning duo, right? Like, so everyone kind of imagined that Sony Michel was like this electric playmaker. He's not that kind of athlete. He's a good athlete, though, don't get me wrong, but he's not like that kind of like chess piece that you're going to move all the way around and do all the kinds of different things with. You know, Michelle has had questions with his vision as well. He's had questions also with ball security. That's something that we talked about that after the one playoff game where he put the ball on the ground late against Oklahoma. You know, Sony Michel is a nice player, and I think he's got an NFL future. I just feel a lot better about Nick Chubb overall.
You think it's fair to say Chubb's like a poor man's Leonard Fournette?
I think that Fournette's probably more naturally powerful. I think that in terms of just that lower body power, you know, like from the coming from his lower half, Chubb is really strong, but I think that his power isn't quite what Fournette was. And I think Fournette has more of that straight line speed, but I think it's in terms of what their strengths are and what you want to ask them to do. I think it's pretty similar. Yeah.
Who's a guy that you like, but there's something about him that scares you?
That's Kalen Ballage. And Ballage is similar. It's funny you bring up Fournette. I think Ballage is similar in some ways. I think he's probably a looser athlete. He's a little bit looser in the hips. But this kid is really, really intriguing because, you know, you're talking about a kid who's 6'1 and a half. He's almost 230 pounds, but he runs in the low 4.4s. Some people had him at 4.3. And when you watch him on film, you see that. I mean, he can impact the game as a receiver down the field. He can get to the perimeter. I remember watching. He scored 8 touchdowns in a game. It was against Texas Tech. But he scored 8 touchdowns in a game as a junior in 2016. And you saw his versatility, the way that he was able to be used. He's got the speed to be able to erase bad angles from the secondary. He can step through first contact. He's not a guy that runs with power at all. He does not run to his size. But similarly to David Johnson coming out, remember, David Johnson was he a fourth or fifth round pick by the Arizona Cardinals coming out of Northern Iowa. And there were a lot of similar questions with David Johnson in terms of, you know, his vision and can he be a full-time back at the next level. He erased those very early on and turned into a very good player relatively early for Arizona. Kalen Ballage has not been a full-time back really at ever. He's split carries throughout his entire career with Damian Richard, and he is a far superior prospect than Damian Richard. So there's going to be questions about this kid, but to me, the upside is very, very high. He's going to be one of the wild cards of this running back group. He could come in and have, I'm not going to say he's going to be an Alvin Kamara type player, but he could have a similar kind of impact year one. And everybody's going to say, how did everybody miss on this kid? But the upside is there. He just was not very consistent.
Give me a guy that you think is safe at the running back position.
Well, we talked about Nick Chubb earlier, and I think he would fit this category well. But since we used him already, I'm going to go with Kerryon Johnson, you know, a guy that to me has similar traits in terms of his size. He's another kid who's really strong. He's got really strong hands in terms of never letting go of the football. And then also his patience and vision stand out to me. I know the offense isn't necessarily – it's not a pro-style attack, so it's not easily translatable. But when you watch him run those zone schemes, you know, you see the patience, the ability to allow those blocks set up and then pick his way through the hole and then accelerate through the hole. I like Kerryon Johnson. I don't know that he's going to be, you know, this like a perennial Pro Bowl talent, but I feel good that he's at the very – least going to be like an average starter in the NFL level. To me, it's like if Saquon Barkley is a home run type of player, I think Kerryon Johnson's like a double, and I feel pretty good about that moving forward for him in the NFL.
Give me a guy that for whatever reason is scheme specific as a running back.
I'm going to go with a guy who not enough people are talking about, and I think he could end up going a little bit higher than people think, is Nyheim Hines from NC State. You know, he's 5'8", 198 pounds. He's a former receiver. He was a receiver as a junior in 2016, or a sophomore in 2016. Ran 4.38 at the combine. We talked about him in the combine preview that I thought he was going to blow it up, and he did. He had a good workout. I was really impressed talking with him at the combine. I thought he came off as a really good kid. Obviously has that position versatility. He's also a great returner. He could go somewhere, and if he goes to the right scheme with a creative offensive mind, we're talking about a guy who is an offensive weapon for an offense. Or he could go somewhere and be kind of a role player. So depending on his usage and where he ends up, I think that we're talking about a player that, similar to, you know, say when Wes Welker was in Miami early in his career, no one talked about Wes Welker as one of the best receivers in the NFL, really nice role player and a nice piece in an offense. He goes to New England, and just the way they used him and the way that he was featured in the offense, now all of a sudden he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. I think that that's similar to Hines in that you know, the way that he's used, one team is going to value that differently than the next. But I really like the kid. I'm really excited about his future.
Okay, then how about a day three gem? You love your day three gems.
Yeah, one of my favorite backs in this class is Mark Walton from Miami. He's 5'10", he's 202 pounds. I loved talking with the kid at the combine. He came off as all business and really had like an NFL mentality. And you watch him on film, you see that quickness, which didn't show up at the combine, but he is coming off that broken ankle, which was a pretty severe break. But you see that short area burst. You see the speed to go the distance. He's a great pass protector. He plays all special teams, and he's got that competitive nature about him that I really, really like. There are some times where I don't think he hits the hole as quickly as I would like, and he doesn't have great wiggle for a guy his size. But overall, I like Mark Walton. I think he's going to end up going on early day three because the combine workout wasn't great, and he's coming off that injury. But overall, I really like the player. I think a team's going to get a good one when they take him on the third day of the draft.
All right, so we always like to do this, Fran. It's three for one. Give me your three for one.
Yeah, so we're going to – two of the best – I mean, we didn't talk about two of the top three backs in this class, and that's Darius Geis, who for me is number two on this list, 5'10 and a half, 224 pounds. He's a pretty good athlete, but overall, the strength of his game is his play strength and his competitiveness. This guy is a nasty attitude runner. He wants to set the tone between the tackles. You get him downhill, and that's where he's going to excel. He's got some experience playing special teams, but I think overall you're talking about a guy who's going to be a three-down back for you in the NFL, probably best in a gap scheme as opposed to a zone scheme. But I think overall, this kid has what it takes physically to be a Pro Bowl type of back. He's really, really intriguing, and I'm a big fan of the way that he plays. Ronald Jones, we talked about him a little bit. You know, 5'11", 205. The comparisons to Jamaal Charles are there. Watching him as a sophomore in 2016, Ross, I didn't think that he saw things very quickly. I thought that there were a lot of yards that were left on the table with him last year in 2016. Watching him this year, and I watched a lot of USC on TV just to watch Darnold, he was busting out big run after big run after big run, and I'm thinking, man, it looks like he's seeing things quicker. And then going back and studying it afterwards, he absolutely was. He was more decisive in the hole. He was taking the green grass when it was there. He's got better contact balance than you'd think. He put on a little bit of weight for the combine. He was up to 205. The question is does he have the frame to hold up as a feature back in the NFL? I think he's got the ability to be a starter. I'm a big fan of Ronald Jones. And then lastly, I want to go with a player who's getting a little bit of buzz, and that's John Kelly from Tennessee. 5'10", 216 pounds. He reminds me of Deion Lewis, Ross, in that, you know, I think he could be a really nice role player. And kind of like what we were saying with Hines, is that every team's going to kind of view him differently. To me, I see a competitive back. He's kind of squatty in terms of his build. He's got good hands, but he's competitive. He has a knack for making people miss. He's not a dynamic athlete, but I think he can be used in space. There are some off-field questions there that will have to get worked out, but to me, he's a really intriguing guy that I think can fit in as a really nice role player in the NFL.
Well, I like fitting in as the O-line guy, so I'm already excited about next week. We'll talk O-line a little bit. I guess my last question before we wrap up the running backs here is just value, Fran, and in general, your thoughts on taking a guy like Barkley at one or conceivably two, or somewhere in the top five, you know, given the success we've seen guys like Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt have, if you think the value is there for a guy like Saquon Barkley in the top five.
I think the value is there if you see yourself as a team that's relatively close. You know, because to me, if you're a team that has a lot of holes, especially up front in the offensive line, and you're not necessarily ready to win right now, I think that taking a running back is, I don't want to say a waste might be a strong word, but I think that's really tough to be able to say, all right, well, you know, we're a team that has a lot of holes, we're going to rely on this running back to take us the distance. I don't know that that's necessarily the right way to go about it, but you know, you look at Dallas, you look at Jacksonville last year, you know, they go out, they invest in the offensive line. You know, they changed everything that they were doing on both sides of the football. You draft Leonard Fournette. Now you've got this identity as a downhill run team, and you're going to play through the run. Same thing with Dallas when they took Zeke Elliott 2 years ago. I think if you've got that plan in mind, then I think it's valuable. But if that's not the plan, and that's kind of what worries me about Saquon to the Giants is, you know, they lose. They were one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL a year ago. You lose Weston Richburg. You lose Justin Pugh. Ereck Flowers looks like he's still going to be starting. They went and they did get Nate Solder. We'll see what other moves are kind of on the docket for them. But this is an offensive line that was not known for their ability to move people at the point of attack. It's a different offensive scheme. We'll see what they try and do this year to kind of spruce things up. But that would concern me a little bit. So we'll see how that all plays out.
Yep, and we'll see if they try to add more offensive linemen, which, like I said, will be exactly what we talk about next week. Very much looking forward to that. I had a chance to watch some of these big guys. You can always have a chance to watch or at least listen to Fran on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, talking about the game from the All-22 angle. Of course, the journey to the draft over at PhiladelphiaEagles.com as well. Your best move is to just follow Fran on Twitter, at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. All of the RT Media podcasts go under the same umbrella. It's at RTF Podcast. We've got some awesome Ross Tucker football podcasts coming up. Went even in more in depth on that Jets-Colts trade and all the signings on yesterday's show. And, of course, we'll have the Fantasy Feast and the Even Money and Andrew Brandt's Business of Sports coming up as well. Other than that, though, for right now, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chugga, 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 chugga. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts. All available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.